Good morning. I walked into my first day of my Greek class, and the professor said passionately, "Students, pour yourself into this work." Dr. M went on to say, "The next few months are going to be very difficult, very hard. It's not going to be easy. But if you give it your all, you will not regret it." Now, at that time, you got to understand, what Dr. M was saying was completely counterintuitive to me. Okay? In my high school studies and my college studies, I famously did the least amount of work possible. Some of you, you're teachers, and you know the kind of student. That was me right here, baby. No more than I needed to, and sometimes much less than what I needed to. So for me to hear, you know, this idea in a classroom context of giving your all, it was a different way of thinking completely. But at that point in time, I'd been out of school for 3 years. I was a student pastor at the time, and I wanted to feed my students spiritually. I wanted to help them. I wanted to bring something powerful to say. And the truth is, I didn't have much to say. I did not know the Bible well. And so Brenda and I decided I should go get more training. So on this first day, my Greek professor, Dr. M, he put this challenge out. He says, if you really put yourself into this work, if you really pour yourself into it, years from now, you'll be reading your Greek Bible. Don't come in here to coast, was basically what he was saying. Don't come in here to just get by. Do the work now. Go all in. I don't know exactly what it was. It was definitely a very passionate challenge that was given. It was definitely in your face, kind of an appeal. But you know what? I was inspired by the vision. I was inspired about what could be. And I decided to take my Greek classes very seriously. Now, what did that look like? Well, this is what it looked like. It looked like me writing on a little card Greek vocabulary and then punching a little hole in it, and then putting it in a ring and taking it everywhere I went so that I could learn the Greek vocabulary. And, you know, I got to the point where, like, I don't want to get one wrong. I don't want to miss one. I don't want to miss one on a pop quiz. I don't want to miss one on an exam. I want to get them all right. Now, that worked well with the way I think. You know, I can kind of apply myself to something like that, like memorizing vocabulary. But here was the really hard part for me, the grammar. I did not do well in grammar in high school, nor in college. That was tough for me. I'm a big picture person. I mean, who cares about these little details? Right? You with me? Nobody's with me. I'm on my own. Oh, man, you know, and grammar was like, no, you got to get down into the mechanics. You got how this works, predicate, nominative, and you got to be able to conjugate verbs, and what is the tense, and what is the mood of that verb? Well, I know what the mood of me is, and it's not very pretty right now, but you know what? I forced myself to work through it until I understood it. Wow. Well, guess what? I'm older, definitely older. And I can read my Greek Bible. Now, I don't say that to brag. I don't. And I'm not some kind of scholar. But what I will tell you is Dr. M was right. It's the new year. It's 2022. And as has already been said, it's a special gathering today where we're seeking God together. And I have a challenge for you. I have a challenge for you this morning. Let's go deeper with Christ. Let's go deeper with Jesus Christ in 2022. Let's go deeper together. So Some of the leaders of this church have prayed to God for direction for this new year. And this is the direction. It's time. It's time for us as a church to go deeper. It's time for us as a church not to be satisfied with a shallow Christianity. You know, a wishy-washy faith. Even if you grew a lot last year, let's go deeper. Let's go after it. Let's go all in. The whole point of faith in Jesus Christ, the whole point of faith in Jesus Christ is to be recreated in the image of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That's the whole point of it. It's to be recreated. It's to be forged. Forged in the image of Christ. When you put yourself into the work of becoming more and more like Christ, let me just tell you this. When you commit yourself to that, to go deeper, when you commit yourself to becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, everyone benefits. Everyone. If you're married, your spouse will benefit. I guarantee it. If you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, your boyfriend or girlfriend will benefit. If you got kids, your kids will benefit. If you got neighbors, if you got coworkers, if you have fellow students, everybody benefits when you go deeper with Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Do you believe that? And here's a big and. You will begin more and more to enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding if you go deeper with Christ. You know, there's so much anxiety in our world. There's so much worry. There's so much depression. And why is that? Why is it true of people who have faith? Because we're shallow. I'm not saying there aren't chemical reasons and stuff like that, so please don't hear me wrong this morning. I want you to look at your depth with Christ. Going deeper with Christ. Going deeper with Christ is not easy. It's not easy. Going all in, it's not all easy. The Apostle Paul, put out a similar kind of challenge to a group of Christians in the ancient city of Colossae. And this winter, beginning next week, for 10 weeks, we're going to study the book of Colossians. Just want to encourage you. Get the notes today, text Genesis notes, and there's some ways to study Colossians in this time. Right now, media, we've got a video series, stuff like that. But get into it. So this winter, we're going to study this letter, this epistle called Colossians. And here's the key passage. Here's the key passage. And I'd like you to memorize it. Memorize this passage. So I'm going to ask you to stand up real quick. Please stand up as I read this. And it's found on page 1529 in the Journey Bible. If you don't have a Bible, take one of the Journey Bibles with you. 1529. This is what it says here. Verse 6 of chapter 2. So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, steadfast in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This is God's Word. Go ahead, grab a seat. Paul was saying to the Colossians, these people in ancient Colossae, he was saying, don't be shallow. Go deep. Don't live on the surface. Get into it. So let's walk through this passage, this brief passage together, phrase by phrase. The first phrase here, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. When you are a Christian, it means you have received Christ as Lord. That's what that means. You have taken Him to yourself. It'd be like if I had a water bottle up here, which I feel like I could use one right now. I got a dry mouth. So you need to take a drink and you take it in. You take it unto yourself. And to take in Christ is like to take in the living water. The living water. It's sort of a passive thing when you receive Christ. He's done all the work and we just accept it. Christ came to earth. We just celebrated that at Christmas time. He came humbly into our space. He pitched his tent among us. He lived a perfect life. He suffered for sinners. He suffered on the cross. He actually died. And he rose again. He rose from the dead. And so, when we receive Christ, we're receiving all his work that he's done on our behalf as a gift. And by the way, you may be here today and you're not a Christian. You've never trusted him. You've never received him. There's no better place to start than today. And you can do that very simply by your own will, by your own volition, by your own choice, by admitting your need for a Savior and receiving Christ. It's a lot like this. Let's say you go to a restaurant. I like to go to restaurants. You go to a restaurant, and now let's say it's your favorite restaurant, and you're really hungry. You go in there. You're going to order a salad. You want to order the main course, and you're even going to have dessert this time. I mean, you're just super-duper hungry, and you love the food there. So you order this big meal, and you begin to enjoy it. You work through the salad. Oh, those croutons are so good. The dressing is perfect. And then you get into the main course. You're about halfway through the main course, and you realize something. You realize, I forgot my wallet. I forgot my wallet. And so what do? You're like, oh, so you decide to tell the waiter, you know, I forgot my wallet. And, you know, and if you're in Petoskey, they'll probably say, yeah, no problem. You know, don't we love Petoskey? Isn't it great to live here? Whew, what a great place to live. Don't go home, get it, you know, come back in 2 weeks and pay, no problem at all, right? Well, you go to some places, they'd be like, what are you doing eating my food when you're not going to pay for it? And they might say, you can't leave until you pay for this. Like, well, I can't, I got to go somewhere to get, sorry, you can't, you need to call somebody. So let's say you call somebody. You call somebody and they're like, they're graciously like, yeah, I'll come. I'll help you out. So they come in. And so you're at a point where when they come to pay your debt, you can, number one, you can refuse it. You can say, you know, I thought about it. I'm just going to stay here. I'm just going to ride this out. I'm going to go wash dishes. Or you can say, no, I'm going to receive it. That's as simple as it is. Christ came. He paid a debt. He paid a debt for you. And receiving it brings it into your life. Receiving him, receiving who he is. Okay, so if you've received Christ as Lord, we have an if-then thing here. An if-then, like, if you're a Lions fan, then during the playoffs you have free time. Okay, so that's if-then. So if you're a follower of Christ, then what does it say? What does the passage say? Walk in him. Walk in him. This is not a passive thing. To become a Christian is a passive thing in a sense, but to do what God calls you to and calls me to, you've got to do something. This is a command. And walk in him. In Bible times, the word walk, this concept, I mean, they walked everywhere. Everywhere you went, you know, you walked somewhere. Even if it was far away, you walked for the most part. And so walking is a metaphor for life. And Paul is saying you receive Christ as Lord. Now live in it. Live in him. Live in him. Don't put him over there. Don't compartmentalize. It's Sunday. I'm going to bring Jesus out today. Bring him out of his little box. Worship. Put him back in his box and put him away until next Sunday. No. Live in him. This is the challenge that Paul is giving. This is an imperative. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Don't take from Christ and then continue to live in your way. Don't take from him. Don't take his salvation and then just continue to use it so that you can do what you want. Don't just coast in Christ. Go deep with the one who saved you. That's Paul's appeal here. Make him the king of your heart. Now, after that, the next phrasing we have is the how you do that. And it's these three words here, these three phrases: rooted, built up, and steadfast. Let me say them again, then I'm going to have us say them together. Let me say them one more time. Rooted, built up, and steadfast. Please say them with me. Rooted, built up, and steadfast. How do we walk in? How do we live in Christ? Rooted. Now, with rooted, you got to think dig. You got to think dig. Digging is intense work. Two summers ago, I decided to put up a couple small fences in my yard. And so it meant that I had to dig 10 3-foot deep post holes. And no, it was not in the budget, Brenda told me, to go to Taylor Rental and get one of those power augers. So I got the post hole digger out there. And man, it is a lot of work. I mean, there's roots and there's clay at where I live. There's a lot of clay, by the way. A lot of clay. I'm up on a hill and it's like it holds water. What, you know, happened? And then you get into different rocks and all kinds of shale and just different things as you go 3 feet down. It is hard work. And after the first one, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. Do you know what I mean? Anybody ever dug a hole in your yard? And it's like, you know, I got to get at this. If I'm going to finish this project, this I got to do it. I don't want to do it. It's hard. I was getting blisters on my hand. And, you know, going deeper with Christ does not just happen. It's not like the show or the movie Bewitched where the little girl twinkles her nose and it happens. Going deeper with Christ does not happen by osmosis. God enables us to go deeper through His Holy Spirit, but it takes work. It takes effort. You got to be rooted. The hard work of rooting is to receive nourishment from Christ. That's what it's all about. The idea of a root going down, it takes in nutrients. It takes in water. This is that idea. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Men and women should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we got rooted. Then we have built up. Now this is the word for building a house. Again, it takes work to build a house, but additionally it takes another kind of work. It takes another kind of work beyond hard work to build a house. It takes the work of coming up with a plan. Just like Scott Garziella said last week, when you're going to build something, you don't just start slapping pieces of wood together and hope that it turns out okay. You make a plan. You make a determination. You start with a determination. You start with assessing what is needed. In other words, what do I need to go deeper? What is up with me? Where do I need transformation? Where am I sideways in my faith? You assess that, and then you put together a plan. You put together a plan that has spiritual disciplines that will help bring about the change that Jesus Christ wants to do in you. Like spiritual disciplines are things like prayer, Bible reading, memorization of Scripture, giving, serving others. All of these activities, in a general sense, help deepen your faith. Let me give you a quick example. During the fundraising of this building, I was a wreck in the early time of it because there was so much uncertainty and there were so many different things going on, and it was a moving line of how much we had to raise, all kinds of things. It was crazy. And so during this period, I was waking up at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning before I normally get up, and I couldn't go back to sleep because I would start thinking about, oh, I got to have this conversation today and I need to do this and that. And, oh, I hope it goes well. And, oh, I need to do this and I need to do that. And so, you know, here was an area of growth for me. And so what I did was I memorized a verse. Isaiah 41:10. Some of you have heard me talk about it before. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not be afraid. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I love that word. I am your God. I will help you and strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So I memorized that verse. It didn't take that long. It's, you know, maybe it took a week or two or so. But I memorized that verse. I'd wake up at 3 a.m. and you know what I'd do? I'd quote that verse. I'd quote that verse and then I'd work through it. I'd start preaching it to myself. And just like what happens to any preacher, when you start preaching, people start falling asleep. I was falling back asleep. Some people here, we need to learn to give. We need to open our hands. You're not giving of your time to serve the church. You're not giving of maybe your other resources. You hold on to them so tightly. And so what you do is you make a plan. You make a plan to address that. Huh, I'm going to contact the church office and I'm going to find out where I can serve. Where I can take responsibility for an area of the church so that I can train myself, so that I can go deeper with Christ. Or if it's giving money, some people don't give money. They hoard it all to themselves. They spend it all on themselves, or they save it all for themselves someday. And Scripture tells us, no, open your hand with your money. Give some of it away. That will train your heart not to idol worship money. And so if you need to give, don't just say, oh, you know, when the time arises, I'll give. You know, whatever's in my pocket. There's nothing in your pockets, most likely. And that'll just, money will fly away and you won't have any to give. Pick a percentage. It's 2022, it's early. Pick a percentage to give away. Tackle 1% or 2%. Expert level, 10% or above. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give this away. I'm going to free myself from greed by letting Christ be my Lord. Not just in my salvation, but in my life. Steadfast, firm and unwavering. Choose it. Choose to stand firm in your plan. Hold yourself to the plan. This is where we get resolution from, right? Be resolute. Unswerving. I'm not going to change this decision. This is what I'm doing. When I was taking that Greek, I'm doing this. I'm going after it. It takes resolve to get into a plan. Okay? And you know what? Here's something very important. It takes other people. You need other people in your life that will cheer you on and hold you accountable. I have it in my life. I'm the pastor. I have people in my life. They know what's going on inside of me. They know the areas that I'm working on. You need it as well. Okay. You have to decide this. No one can decide it for you. I love you. I'm your pastor, perhaps. I love my kids. I love other people. I can't decide for them. I want to. Oh, do I want to? I can't. I can't decide for them. No one can decide this except for you. Decide the goal of getting deeper, Christ, in 2022. Decide to become more like Christ so that everyone can benefit from your growth. Everyone gets to experience the fruit of the kingdom. And you know what? You will walk in peace. You will walk in peace. There's a song we're going to sing here. There's a song we're going to sing, and it's kind of talking about making Jesus your king. It's kind of weird language to make someone your king. I mean, we live in a democracy. I mean, come on. You know, what's this about? Why are we singing this? This is antiquated. You know, but no, it's not antiquated. Because the whole idea of the song, the whole idea of Christianity is that you voluntarily make Jesus your king. It's not by force. You voluntarily, you surrender. You say, okay, I am willing to submit myself to you. It's our choice. It's not forced upon us. This is the first verse of the song that the band is going to sing here in just a moment. Just that first verse. Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run. The fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. May this be your song.
Well, Genesis Church, I like how you said walk it out, you know? And that's my favorite phrase to describe what we're going to do next, which is our next steps. We've got some challenges, some ideas of how to walk out what we just talked about as a church body. I was asked this week, it's actually interesting, somebody was asking me about starting out a gym routine. Yeah, I know. You're like, oh, who would ask you that? Why would they ask you that? And they said, you know, if I wanted to start out, what advice would you give? And I said, you know, the small choices that you make, the small chances that you take, they compound. You know, they can compound for the worse, you know, or they can compound for the better. And so we just want to offer you guys some really cool opportunities, some possibilities to take a couple chances to walk out in faith what we just talked about, some opportunities, some practices to take part in as a church. And just think about, you know, not, oh, man, this is something else I got to do, but it's like, what if I did this? What big things would compound out of these things? You know, what choices am I making now, and how will they affect my life in the future? Think about the possibility. It's exciting. So the first one, what is it?
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
So experiment.
Yeah.
Experiment. Try for 10 weeks.
Yes.
Don't feel like, oh, and now I've got to do something until the Lord doth comes. No.
Yeah.
Just experiment.
Yeah. We're going to pour you a little cup. You can swish it around, take a sip, see if you like it. If you don't, put it back, pick up something else. That's okay. So let's get into them. Spiritual practices. Our first one is posture prayer. Ian Weller, you were doing a posture prayer even as we were worshiping. You were down on one knee. A powerful thing to do. I think about, when I think about posture prayer, I think about my marriage to my wife, our wedding day. You know, I put a ring on her finger. I got down on my knees and I washed her feet, her stinky feet. And no, they weren't that stinky. She showered.
They smell better than yours.
Exactly, exactly. That's why she didn't wash my feet. But I washed her feet, and it was a physical demonstration of a spiritual reality. And so that's what the challenge is with posture prayers. I know that you kneel down on your knees and you pray. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite posture prayers is I like to pray. I like to worship with my hands open. That's a posture prayer that I would challenge you to maybe try out, where it's like, hey, God, you know, this is a position of surrender. I've got nothing that I'm holding back. This is a position of openness. You know, I want to receive what you want to give to me today. And so we want to challenge you as a church, try posture prayers, either down on your knees or with your palms facing up, with your hands up high, whatever it is, you know, try it out. And again, small choices that you make each and every day or each and every week, however often you want to do this, they compound. And so I just want you to think about the possibilities of what happens if, you know, I start my day in prayer or I end my day in prayer, demonstrating physically, hey, God, you are in the highest place in my life. What does that look like? What will that do for you? Again, you know, for me, one of the things I'm working on, I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain of my own life. One of the things, my resolution is diet. So I'm starting out real simple with breakfast. Breakfast is oatmeal and a fruit every single day, starting out there. Maybe spiritually, this is, you know, your simple start out. You know, I'm going to start with a prayer, posture prayer every single morning. However you want to do it, make it happen. And then allow God to correct your posture. That's an important thing, too. You know, recently I had somebody who God put on my heart. And I was like, man, I'm going to start praying for this person. And as I started praying for this person, God started saying, like, listen, I want you to build into and invest in your relationship with this person. You know, call them more often. Check on them more often. See how they're doing. And so it was like the prayer didn't just end with prayer. It actually led to action. So that's our first challenge, is individually maybe start with a prayer on your knees or a prayer with your palms up. It's a really cool thing that you can do to invest in your relationship with God this year.
If that interests you, text Genesis. Our team will send you over a document that kind of walks through how to do a posture prayer. And the whole thing is having a plan, having a time, having a duration, having kind of something that gives you boundaries around it is so important. The second one here is scripture reading, daily scripture reading, daily rooting yourself into God's word. When Jesus was in temptation, the evil one was tempting him. He was fat. Jesus was fasting. Satan said, hey, make these stones into bread. And Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Make that your goal in 2022. For these next 10 weeks, Evan, just try this out. Scott Garziella put together a great reading plan for this season, the winter season. And it's something you can do individually, text Genesis. Individual read, and we'll send you the link. Or we're going to do a group read. We're going to do a YouVersion group read. I got Eugene roped into it to help me. And so if you want to be a part of that, let us know. A group read, and then we just need to know who you are so we can invite you into the group on YouVersion. If you don't know what YouVersion is, it's a Bible app where you can do plans with other people. You can do all kinds of things in there. So make scripture reading a priority right now.
That's right. One of my other resolutions, YouVersion is going to be the first app I open every single day. Got to get into the Bible before I get into anything else. It's helpful. I've seen it pay off in the last 9 days, so it's a good thing. Another thing, this is, so we've kind of talked some individual next steps. This next one is one that you can do corporately with other people, and it is gather and engage with others in a weekly small group. We have small groups that are kicking back up at Genesis as we move into our Colossians series, and we would just challenge, invite, encourage, ask what if, for you to join a small group. What if I joined a small group? What would that look like? They meet weekly and they go through scripture. They allow you to invest more deeply in individual people in your life because it is not possible to invest personally with a room the size. If you're somebody who can meet and know personally every single person in this room every single week, you are superhuman. Right? Yeah, that's crazy. But small groups allow kind of a big church to become more connected, built together. We believe that we're better together. And that goes beyond just reading scripture because as you show up for this group, you know, it will challenge you to be more committed, to be more others focused, to, you know, you will meet people in this group and you will realize very quickly if you do a small group, you know, as you gather together, you'll realize, hey, these people are not perfect. And I'm not perfect either. But as we gather together, we can grow together. We can become more like Christ. You know, we can learn group dynamics. We can say, hey, you know, this is something that I see in you that I just want to encourage you in. Or, hey, this is something that I see in you that I just want to kind of challenge you in. And it's all good and it's all beautiful. It's not necessarily always easy to show up week after week for a small group, but it is an excellent thing. Makes us look more like Christ as we move through this world. It's a good challenge. Next one.
Yeah, I want to just say, like, you know, sometimes we sit like this. And what does this mean when we sit like this? Like, don't talk to me. Like, stay away from me.
Yeah.
And sometimes, as a follower of Christ, that may be your personality. And you know what you got to do? You got to unfold the arms to go deep with Christ. You got to unfold them, and you got to let people come in.
Yep.
And you got to, that, what Johnny's saying, that's how transformation occurs. Yeah. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't happen in isolation. It happens together. So join in. And this is the last one here. Some of you have been a part of Genesis for many months, many years even. And it's time to commit. It's time to commit to the body. We don't have membership in the sense of, like, the reason why we don't use that word is, like, remember the old commercial, what was it? Membership has its privileges. Do you remember that? Like, oh, I'm a member here and the garbage can is kicked over. You know, they should clean that up. You know, no, we want partners to be a part owner in what the church is about. And so this is a commit. It's a committed relationship. Like, you have decided, yeah, this is my church. I'm all in together. And maybe that would be the way that you need to go deeper with Christ this year, is to fully commit. Fully commit to the gatherings. Fully commit to serving. Fully committing your life to another, like Johnny said, another group of people who sometimes drive you bananas. And I know I drive some of you bananas. That's why I stay away from you. You know, I don't want to run you away. But these are some of the next steps that you can take. And I just want to say this. Pick something. Don't just sit there. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Pick something. Pick one way to address your need to become more like Christ.
That's right. And I love, like you said with Greek, it's not like anybody was saying, like, oh, Norm, like, if you don't learn Greek, you're not a Christian. But it's like there was a holy hunger in your heart that I want to go deeper. I want to learn more. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to give out more to these kids than what I currently am. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the spirit of this. This is stuff you have to do, but this is stuff that you get to do because you want to honor the Lord and you want to follow Him and you want to be more like Him each and every day. There's such thing as a holy discontentment. So let's bow our heads and pray over these things. Ask God to speak to our hearts and say, hey, is there something that you want me to take a step of faith in? A small, intentional move forward that might lead to big changes later on. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for this time that we get to gather together this morning and seek you. I don't want this to be about, you know, Genesis Church and our programming. I want this to be about Jesus, God. I pray that that is the heart of this, that we are seeking after you and what you have for us, that we don't see this as rote duty to just perform and to get done with, but rather, I'm not satisfied not following after you, God. I want to follow after you with everything that I have in my heart, everything that I have in my life, everything that I have to give is yours, God. I pray that for our church, that you would put deep down in our souls a holy discontentment, a need to go deeper, run further and faster for you, God, and that we would do that together. That you haven't just given us people to sit by, but people to run with, people to chase after your heart with, the people around us in our lives and in our community here at Genesis Church, that we would be a people who do that in earnest. So God, speak to our hearts in these quiet moments. Say, hey, I want you to take a chance here. Hey, I want you to make a choice here. Try that out. Commit to it. God, speak to our hearts. Give us direction. Give us an excitement that says, oh my goodness, what if? What if? How are you going to change me in these next 10 weeks, God? How are you going to move in my life? How am I going to see you at work in my purpose, in my joy, in my pain? How am I going to see you there? God, give us those things in your mercy, in your graciousness. And in your name we pray these things, Jesus. Amen.